Why can't APS just pay teachers more?
Can my child really learn in a classroom of 30?
Is public education as bad as the media and everyone else says it is?
Everyone has an opinion about Albuquerque public schools. But where do you go to sort out fact from fiction and rumor? Right here. Welcome to the APS Open Book Podcast with your host, Mark Goodrum.
Welcome to the APS Open Book Podcast, Episode 9, The Mill Levy and Bond Election. Well, we've got our guest today here, and I really appreciate you being here, Christine Moore, a JAG teacher at Rio Grande High School. Thank you so much. And Robert Beatty, from principal at RFA Charter School. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Absolutely.
Scott Elder, you're back for a third time. We're going to put a little extra in your paycheck. I used that joke before.
I think so.
Albuquerque Public Schools Chief Operations Officer. First of all, the bond election, mill levy coming up. Let me start with you, Scott. When is that going to take place?
That election is in November. It is the second Tuesday of November, and it is a walk-in election, so we'll be hosting it at most of our schools across town.
I want to get this on the table first. You know, I would hope that everyone in Albuquerque can agree on this one thing, and that is we should have a focus on our children. Out of my circle of life, I don't think I know anyone that's against the kids. And that's kind of broad, but what they need. But let me start with you, Scott, on what is on the table for the bond election for APS and the mill levy.
Okay, great. Well, there's two questions we're posing to the voters. The first one is a mill levy question. That's a continuation of an existing tax, or it's a tax that has expired. So one thing that's important to remember about mill levies is they run 6 years. And we've hit the end of the six-year cycle, and it's expired. And that money is used specifically for maintenance and equipment. So that particular question will fund most of our maintenance at the schools, leaky roofs, if there's lead in the water to replace fixtures, you know, plumbing issues, all the things that the teachers and students have to deal with in the normal wear and tear of a school. HVAC has been a big issue recently, but we're about to turn seasons. It'll be, you know, heating real soon. So that's important. So that's the mill levy. The bond issue is capital expenses, so we can build with the bond issue. And that's like a loan that we pay back. That's $100 million. Again, there's really important to know for the public that there's no tax increase, no tax rate increase involved with either of these questions. And I think that was something we learned in the last election, that we had to make sure that we maintain things, but not to expand things. So this money is absolutely critical. If we don't pass the mill levy, then we don't have maintenance money. And that's really incredible to think about when you have 15 million square feet of instructional space to maintain.
Well, I want to ask this before I forget. I was talking to a buddy of mine on the radio this morning. I brought up the fact that I was going to be doing this podcast. And Bill brought up back to me, I'd like you to address it. And he says, okay, yeah, I understand that there's no tax increase. But if I vote no, will my tax go down?
You would see a decrease. What's happened is, like I said, this thing goes 6 years. It is expired. So yes, that particular mill would disappear. The long-term cost to the public, I think, would far outweigh what would happen as far as a small reduction in your taxes, because we'll have to come back at some point. The earliest we can come back is 2021. So we currently spend about $14 to $15 million a year in just maintenance costs. Right. Where would that come from? It would have to come out of the operational dollars, and those are the dollars that fund the classroom.
Bam, that's what I'm talking about. And my response back to him, he's a great guy, I don't want to get on his case, but my response back to him was, well, look, first of all, like my point this morning was that we should all be helping our children, number one. And helping our children now means they're going to be good citizens down the road, pay taxes down the road, have good jobs, and so forth and so on. And that's why, I was looking at trying to get that question answered for Bill and other people?
No, I think it's an important question, and I appreciate you asking it. I think some people say, well, I pay enough. The problem is there's no way to supplement that money. This is how public governmental agencies pay for necessary repairs. Libraries, storm drainage, and schools. This is where that money comes from. So, yeah, you could reduce your taxes, but you're directly impacting the classroom.
Yeah, I mean, we all live in this community, and it isn't free. We have to, it takes a village. And so, Christine, talk a little bit about how this will impact you at your school.
Okay. I think we can all agree that we want our students to spend at least 7 hours a day in being educated in an environment that's clean and comfortable and safe. And at Rio Grande in particular so far, you know, we've made steps to make our school that kind of an environment. We have a relatively new freshman academy. So when our incoming students come, they spend the first year in a beautiful new building.
Yeah.
And it's a great environment, and it has great technology, and it's very updated and attractive.
Yeah.
Our sophomores, some of them also spend time in that building. The difficulty is when they become sophomores, juniors, seniors, you know, they're then transitioned into the older portion of the building.
Sure.
And there is some, as he said, wear and tear and age. The school was built in the 1950s.
Right.
So maintenance has had to keep up with that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Our gymnasium, for example, which is in the bond, is unfortunately, when it rains, it leaks like a sieve.
Yeah.
So when students, sometimes they can't participate in activities that they would love to, because we are trying to put Band-Aids on a building
Absolutely.
That really can't take any more Band-Aids.
Right.
And that's an issue. We talked about HVAC. This year, unfortunately, when students returned to school, it was in the mid-90s. So that was a struggle, and it's difficult for those students in the older portions of the school to concentrate, or for teachers to teach,
right.
and who are bringing in fans and things. So we are making those strides, but we need this.
Yeah.
We're aging. We're a school that's aging.
Yeah, absolutely.
So education is difficult. We lost one day of education this year because of a water leak. So the whole school shut down for one day while that was taken care of.
It is a direct impact.
It's a direct impact on the education, on instructional time for students.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wanted to address a couple of points you brought up. That safety factor is so important. The kids are at the schools, and that's the number one priority for the district, is the safety aspect of the kids, and this directly impacts that.
Yes. Yes. It not only just in the building, but in security that we have working at the school. And we work very hard to make this a safe environment. You know, ALICE training has come along now, and those kinds of things, so that students know, you know, we have a security force, teachers are very well trained, we know what to do in case there's an emergency. But the environment itself needs to be safe for our students.
Absolutely.
Well, and just in terms of security measures directly related to capital, so we focused on a number of physical improvements to all the schools. So that includes perimeter fencing to try to reduce the number of access points. We're looking at adding card access to the building so people have to card access in, putting vestibules at the main entrances so that you can actually stop people before they get all the way in the building. So those are all included in this request. We need probably about $25 million ultimately to do the entire district.
Right.
This is a step in the right direction. We've already started, but we need this money to continue that work to keep people. Unfortunately, that's a new reality.
Absolutely.
You know, before it was the security and the safety of just having clean, healthy classrooms. Now it's safety.
And, you know, Robert, we were talking about, the new building you were mentioning. Talk briefly about what that does for a student when they come into an environment that's just new and uplifting.
Well, it completely changes the student's attitude. They feel that they're really being honored and respected.
Yeah.
The gym at Rio Grande High School is old, right? I mean, it's functional, but it's old. And because of Title IX, the district's redoing the entire facility. Now, they've got most of the money already budgeted, but there's another $5 million in this budget to bring that budget to what it needs to do to actually replace the building. Mm-hmm. All the students are going to use that, and the community uses that. Mm-hmm. So it changes the attitude of the students. It changes the attitude of the parents. It changes the attitude of the public when they come into that building.
Before we started the podcast, you and I briefly talked about the community schools and how it has impact. I know when I was at Grant, Ed Briggs was very instrumental in bringing that up at Grant Middle School. Like you said, the community gets a chance to be a part of this whole upgrade of the buildings.
So Ed Briggs and the work he did at Grant's, I think, was before community schools were community schools. He worked with the city to make that facility happen. I'm the director at Robert F. Kennedy Charter School, and we have a unique relationship with the district, along with a group of other schools that are actually on APS property, working with APS. And the district built a multi-purpose facility on our campus, and it's utilized 7 days a week by the community. It's not just for the school, it is for the community. Right. And that's what happened at Grant Middle School. It was open until 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night.
Absolutely.
Every weekend. And so that's the model that we've developed our multi-purpose center around. And so it's a community center in our neighborhood for that community.
And Scott, you talked about safety and how bird has changed in the last several years and what an impact it is. Can you talk again a little bit about those areas at the high school dealing with the safety that will directly be?
Sure. Actually, it's all schools. It's mm-hmm. You know, the high schools have some advantages in that they have some security people there, but they're way stretched. We simply don't have enough. We have people at middle schools, but not all middle schools, and of course we have 89 elementaries. And as we've discovered, these events occur everywhere. It's not located at just any type of school. It's not alone in schools. I mean, it's in the community, and it's scary. And so what can we do to help our staff and students be as safe and secure as possible? Well, you know, that we mentioned the training for the teachers, we mentioned the training at the schools. We've got a great relationship with Albuquerque Police Department and Bernalillo County Sheriff's Department in terms of responding, getting them to the school if something were to happen. But we have to harden the schools. And what that means is you want to make the schools more difficult for access from outside people. So again, we talk about perimeter fencing. In Albuquerque, the one thing we have is space. And so we tended to build out. We didn't build up. We were just talking about this before the podcast also, is people don't want you to block their view of the mountains, right?
Yeah.
So we built out. Well, what that does is that creates multiple access points, multiple doors for people to come in. So what we're doing now is we're going back and retrofitting the schools to try to create a situation where people really can only enter through one door or as few doors as possible. The high schools, that's almost impossible, but reduce as many door entries as possible. At that point, we want to put some sort of security vestibule there so that if somebody came in the first door, you could, and you saw something that was inappropriate or scary, you could lock them inside the vestibule. So that they can't, you know, continue. We want to have card access throughout the school building so that people aren't able to move from building to building as easily. Again, the idea is if somebody really, really wants to get in, they're going to get in.
Right. Yeah.
But you want to slow things down as much as possible and give your first responders as much time to respond as possible and give our teachers and the adults on campus as much time as they can to guide the students to the best decisions they can. So that sort of material is just a new reality of managing schools. It's frightening to talk about, it's hard to talk about, but it's absolutely vital. We can't not do it. So that's the sort of thing that's included in these type of elections, and it's really important.
Now, I sort of got ahead of myself here. Correct me if I'm wrong, last spring or last fall, there was an election and it failed. What was that about? And this, because we may have some confusion going on.
Well, yeah, so I think what happened in February was a couple of things. One, it was a much larger ask in February. So this ask is a significantly reduced, bare bones. Look, this is absolutely what we have to do. So maintenance, it's really hard to even imagine not having that capacity to maintain the facilities.
Sure.
So we just really went for that. We're saying, look, give us the maintenance money. Give us the money to buy the musical instruments. One commitment the Board of Education made was to art and music in the schools. And so what we do is we buy instruments for schools where the children may not have the resources to rent or purchase their own. So everyone has access. We buy science equipment. We buy physical education equipment. We buy library furniture. Those are dollars spent. Our technology has to be paid for from somewhere. We want to keep your technology up. We update every 3 years because that's about the time when things become obsolete. This year there won't be a refresh for that because we didn't get the money. Right. So this, and again, you want to keep your kids in the newest technology. You want to have it functioning. You want to be able to have access to fine arts. That's what's important. Before, we asked for a lot more in terms of the bond issue, so there was an increase in the taxes, and this time there is no increase to the tax rate, and I'll say that over and over and over, so get ready to be bored, but it's no increase to tax rate. We are looking at a few projects that we want to complete. The Rio Grande Gym is an excellent example. We have about $15.5 million towards it. We need about $22 million. So we're looking to pick up the back half of that funding in this election. That's the bond. Mm-hmm. And we'll be able to break ground on that almost immediately once we get that money. But there's about eight other projects. Before we had almost 30 projects. Now we're down to eight school projects.
I wanted to go back over to Rio Grande for a minute there and talk about, I remember when Manzano's band room was built. What do you say to those parents that my child is graduating, I don't have a dog in the fight, I'll move on?
Okay, I think to realize, though, that the students that are still in school, they're part of your community.
Absolutely.
And a school is a major part of all of our communities. And we do have newer schools in Albuquerque. We have beautiful new schools. Mm-hmm. You know, Del Norte was rebuilt recently, right. And it's a beautiful facility. And I think all students should be given that same opportunity to learn and to attend a beautiful facility, a nice new school.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe not new, but something that's updated
sure.
and something that's accessible and functional.
Yeah,
beautiful. And a joy to use.
Yeah.
And so even, like you said, if you have a student that's no longer in school or you're your own older person, your children are grown, have families of their own somewhere, this is still a large part of our community.
Right.
And you want to raise our kids, right? We all want to raise our kids to be wonderful citizens.
Right.
And this is just a perfect example of raising them in a nice environment
mm-hmm.
where they can learn and concentrate and enjoy and have exercise in a new gym and enjoy that. And then we can have games, you know, when volleyball, they're playing volleyball or basketball in a nice facility that we will look forward to having other schools visit us as well.
Yeah.
And I want to make it real clear on this, even though there's only eight projects, those are spread across the city. So we spent a lot of time talking about Rio Grande's gym, but there's projects in the Northeast Heights.
Good point.
There's projects in the South Side. There's projects in the West Side. People need to understand that we spread this around. And a real key component of this is the economic development. People don't understand that at one point, you know, when we were going through the recession, APS was covering about 70% of the commercial building in the region.
Wow.
So we were keeping plumbers, electricians,
right.
framers, roofers, architects. We were keeping them employed.
Those contracts.
And we keep them in town, which is more important, because if they can't make money here, they're going to go somewhere else. And what that's going to do is that's going to leave the remaining few able to charge even higher. And it just becomes harder and harder. Is you want to lure people in and businesses in, you want them to see beautiful schools that kids like coming to. So we're really a key component to the economic development of the city beyond just the fantastic benefits it has for those students and that community that can look and say, you know what, we have a really nice, beautiful school in my neighborhood now.
Right.
Neat.
That's a good point. It's not only in one particular area of the city, it's spread around. And also that you're putting in jobs going on in the city as well. And that's a very good point. Robert, I wanted to get to you about the teachers. You know, I got to be honest. I've talked to many of the teachers when I was in school. I'm retired now, but that were negative and said, you know, I don't want to vote and blah, blah, blah. But this is also dealing with their own safety. And being in the classroom, of course, we talked about the kids, but your whole work environment.
So that's a really good point because what what Scott was saying about school safety, it really has changed because it's safety and security now. We just did the ALICE training, and it was really well received, but teachers deserve to feel safe when they're doing their work,
yeah.
Right? And situations are different now. Schools are vulnerable. They've been open, right? They've been really open, and now we need to be a little more careful. My teachers are concerned, yeah. Right? What's going to happen if somebody does come on campus? Is the facility where it needs to be?
Sure.
The cameras have changed. The quality and the technology in the camera equipment has changed. And so it does need to be upgraded, and the monitoring does need to happen. So students get very nervous when you do that training because then all of a sudden they think of situations, but the teachers are thinking about it for themselves and for the students. And when they go through the training now and how to block the door to keep the person out, they think about it differently.
Right.
When we do a training or a drill now, it's a real thing. Mm-hmm. And the students take it more seriously. The teachers take it much more seriously. And there's got to be work done to keep schools safe.
With the upgrades, you'll feel more confident in your job and the safety of that building.
So one of the things that the district's doing is changing the locks on the door.
Right.
Right. In the past, you would lock the door from the outside. Well, when somebody's on campus, your ability, your fine motor coordination to reach outside and lock that door from the outside isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
The doors need to be able to be locked from the inside. Mm-hmm. That might seem insignificant, mm-hmm. but when you look at all the doors in APS, that's a lot of locks that need
Absolutely.
To be changed.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, and there's money in here to finish that work.
Scott, we just got through talking a couple of podcasts before on the water situation and all of that, and that's, correct me if I'm wrong, that's also built in the fixtures in this this election money.
Yeah, the water situation was an interesting one because people were, I think, justifiably worried, was it the source water? And of course it isn't.
Right.
What happens is it's issues inside the pipes or inside the fixtures and with water that sits for a while. The EPA simply says, we'll just flush. But that's not exactly an efficient use of water, and it doesn't solve the problem. It just triages the problem. So what APS has been doing is as we do the testing and we come across these hits, which I remind you is 5% of the total testing, we replace the fixtures. We replace the pipes as necessary, but that costs money.
Right.
And that's maintenance. That's exactly what we're talking about. That's maintenance dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a great example of how the maintenance dollars gets applied. And people say, oh, well, now you've solved the problem. Well, those were the elementary schools. Now we're working through the middle schools and into the high schools. So, and if you're in an older part of town, and this is not, again, this is not a school issue. This is a community issue.
Sure.
You know, you mentioned the water leak that shut down your school. And, you know, that was a county issue. That was, you know, but It's across the town. Everybody has aging infrastructure. So when you vote for bonds, when you vote for mill levies, you know, no matter who it is, city, CNM, us, obviously we want you to vote, you know, in a way that supports the infrastructure of the institution and of the community.
I mean, I go to the libraries, but I don't go often all the time. But I'm going to vote yes for that because I know how important that is for not only myself, but other people in the community. If you want more information, you can go to the APS website, correct?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. We have a listing of the exact questions and exactly which projects are funded.
Yeah, and I'm looking at that list here. You talked about the school music, fine arts. As a former band teacher, I can't get into it. I'll be here all day talking about how important that is for having a kid that wants to play trumpet and having a good instrument for them. Emergency, I'm just reading a couple of these here off the top. Emergency contingents and school library equipment.
Yeah, furniture for school libraries, music equipment. You'll see science equipment, physical education, and we really support the classroom. And the technology is a massive component of that. You know, we've really got to make sure these kids have the tools and the teachers have the tools. And that's always evolving. I remember when computers first came out, I'm that old. I remember, this was going to change the classroom, you know. And then
Windows 95.
Right, yeah. And those weird MacBooks. Yeah, dial up. But then, you know, you go through the, we went through the iPad craze, and now it's these, the Chromebooks and the concept of web-based education and web-based storage in the clouds. And boy, that has just changed our need for the fiber optics and the speed of things. You know, it's very frustrating when things don't move at the speed we want. And we've done some remarkable work this past year to really make a difference at the school sites that people may not, you know, really think about, but that's again encapsulated in this type of election where you're just sort of keeping up with the changing world, and we're never keeping up, right? We're always behind, just trying to catch up to the evolving world around us. But that's what our kids, that's how they learn, and that's how they think, and that's how our teachers are evolving to work with them. And it's just really vital that they have those tools and that infrastructure that allows them to do that.
And one thing I don't see on this list is this money, it's not going to salaries. It's not going to your salaries, Scott, is it?
No.
It's not going. You know, there is that one. I talk to people out there, and all the time I get, well, you know, so-and-so's getting paid enough. You know, the teachers just got a raise. It's not about that.
Right, so this is not money that can go to raises. So obviously, you know, I just say it flat out, our teachers deserve to be paid more, our principals deserve to be paid more. What people worry about are people like me. Are you overpaid? Are you paid too much? None of this money goes to administrative salary. None of this goes to teacher salary, unfortunately. This is capital dollars. All it can do is pay for capital improvements. So it goes directly into the brick and mortar that supports the classroom.
Glad you to bring that up. And one of the things we wanted to have on this podcast is just to make sure that the correct information gets out there, you know, and, you know, maybe it will help. It's for the children, it's for the kids, and for the teachers. And and how important is that, Christine, that educational process and how it relates to the bond issue when the teacher's in front of that classroom?
Well, as he's stated just now, you know, we're in transition. The students need the technology.
Right.
We need a good environment. You know, we use Google Classroom. We need the internet capabilities.
Right.
It's really important that our schools stay up with these types of things, because the student, I mean, they know more than I do now. A lot of when it comes to technology, we need this. We need to keep up with the students, because if we want students in New Mexico to be successful and then be able to compete nationally for jobs and careers,
there you go.
We need to be able to teach them now.
Right.
They need this wonderful ability to learn in a great environment, in a safe environment with good technology, to move on into wonderful careers.
You've got to have the right tools and the new tools that are out there. Well, I want to thank you all so much for being here and singing the song with me. It's important.
Absolutely.
We talked about our children, and this is for them and the environment and keeping it safe.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully people will get on board and help us out with that. Anything else, Scott? We need to put a bow on it?
I just want to say, you know, this third one of these I've done with you. They get better every time. And I just want to thank the two rock stars that came and helped me, because you guys were excellent.
You.
And I really appreciate your viewpoints. I mean, hearing from a principal and a teacher, I think, means way more than hearing from anybody else. You guys are, it's meaningful. And thank you for the work you do. Well,
thank you for the opportunity.
And no new taxes.
And no new taxes. That's right. No tax rate increase.
Thank you so much.
Well, we want to thank the listeners, viewers that tune in, the media office, communications office with APS. We thank them so much for giving us this opportunity. Most importantly, we thank you for downloading the podcast. You can get this anywhere on the internet. Just put it in your favorite search engine and you'll find it. APS Open Book Podcast. We'll see you next time, and don't forget, always keep smiling.
This podcast is produced by Albuquerque Public Schools and KANW Public Radio. Special thanks to KANW Program Director Kevin Otero. Stay tuned for more meaningful conversation in the months ahead.